The 50 million pounds of chocolate Americans consume over Valentine's Day may be hazardous to something besides your health. 46% of the world's cocoa crop comes from the Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. Cocoa planters there reportedly use child labor to meet industry demands. Some are brought in from neighboring countries, sometimes sold by their parents. A 2010 film documenting the practice opens at a chocolate industry conference. Journalist Mickey Mistrati asks attendees where cocoa, the key ingredient in chocolate, comes from.
The cocoa beans is from South America or Africa?
Africa.
Evan
Bainquiste.
Africa and South America.
Mostly from Ghana and Ivory.
Ivory Coast?
Ivory Coast, yes.
Okay. Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, yes.
Chocolate industry leaders tell Mistrati that they know nothing about the documented practice of forcing children to work 12 to 14-hour days with little food or sleep, often subject to confinement and beatings. Mistrati then heads to Côte d'Ivoire, where he goes undercover to expose numerous cases of human trafficking within the cocoa industry. The film recently screened at Stetson University College of Law in Gulfport. During a panel discussion that followed, Giselle Rodriguez of the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking said paying adult field workers a decent wage would create an environment where parents don't feel they have to sell their kids into the cocoa industry.
The corporations aren't paying them enough, so that's why they're having or they're forcing their children to have to work in the fields to get more milk or grain or bread put on their table. So I think once adults can start making money where they can actually live, you know, instead of sacrificing, then we probably won't see a lot of children out there.
You, Roberto Romano, one of the film's directors, joined the discussion via Skype. He said it's not likely that a regulation cutting into the industry's profits would fly. He said cocoa constitutes nearly a quarter of Côte d'Ivoire's exports and that it needs the industry in order to exist as an international economic entity.
Cocoa is the Ivory Coast, and the Ivory Coast is cocoa. It needs cocoa. So when things go wrong with cocoa, things go wrong with the country. And when things go wrong with the country, things go wrong with cocoa, as is evidenced right now.
Romano said the only way to tackle the problem is to have a unified effort among entities like the International Labor Organization and the U.S. Department of Labor. He said the U.S. Congress passed the Harkin-Engel Protocol in 2001, which would have dealt directly with child labor in Côte d'Ivoire. Romano said the international agreement would have included a mandatory fair trade-like labeling initiative, but lost its kick upon contact with the Washington political machine.
And that would have been a bill that had teeth. It would have had a five-year schedule to it, or it would have come with independent inspection, which is what any good labeling initiative or any good law should have. But the chocolate companies fought back. And when they fought back, they brought in Bob Dole as one of their lobbyists. And as a result, what happened was the Harkin-Engen Protocol. And that was supposed to mature in 2005 and have some good results. But it didn't really have any good results. They had to renew it. They had to lower the bar.
If the political will to punish those who violate internationally observed human rights standards is non-existent, some believe economic will on the part of consumers might suffice. The panel tackled the question of whether boycotting cocoa products with no clear certification of ethical labor practices would really help end child labor at the African country's cocoa plantations. Law professor and business ethics expert Clark Furlow said starving the industry would just make things worse for laborers in Côte d'Ivoire.
A problem is, though, if we cut off commerce with the third world, with poorer countries, we end up hurting them. There will be less money going over. There has to be a balance, it seems to me, between a need to help people grow their economies. I really believe that that's the ultimate solution to all of this. When people have the money that don't, so that they don't, or the wherewithal, so that they don't have to rely on child labor, they don't.
On the other hand, labor lawyer Peter Robb said, consumers in rich countries can pressure corporations like Nestle, Cargill, Kraft, and Archer Daniels Midland into adopting ethics guidelines for cocoa suppliers.
I have to say that history seems to tell us that if we wait for corporations to act on their own to improve workers' rights, we're going to be waiting a long time. Corporations, I think, tend to be passive in those areas. They will act, but they tend to wait until there's a reason to do it. We've heard some good comments, I think, in terms of consumer pressure that can be put on, stockholder pressure. They respond to that. Those are the kinds of things that they deal with typically.
Giselle Rodriguez of the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking said taking the industry to task may prove challenging, however, given that agriculture operations, even in the U.S., are immune to child labor laws. To find out more about child labor in the Côte d'Ivoire cocoa industry, go to laborrights.org. There, you'll find information on chocolate companies, their cocoa suppliers, and where to find certified fair trade chocolate. From Gulfport, for WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.